good. So good. I'm sorry for extending the time of today, because I kind of went over a little bit, got a bit excited, and but I'm hoping that we've got some stuff from the session today. Is that, have you got some things that you've learned? No, not quite. Okay, cool. That's good. I want to try and take us a little further in, if possible. We talked about the last place we were at. We were talking about Toda and what it means to bring a sacrifice of praise to God. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore," King James Version, "let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So this passage is encouraging us to open up our mouth and say something. The sacrifice of praise requires us to bring fruit of our lips. In other words, this is not the praise that you say in your head, that you think only, but it's articulated, it's expressed through words. Giving thanks to his name. It's the sacrifice of praise. Now, I want to talk a little bit about sacrifice and offerings, and then we're going to hopefully plow into some practical demonstration of that, and then we're going to close up the session for today. Tomorrow, I'm going to still be here, so we're going to go into take the session a little further in. But I want to just wrap up with this thought. Now, I told you that God instituted sacrifices and offerings when he killed the first animal and covered the man with the skin of that animal in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. By chapter 4, man is outside now the garden. He's outside of the presence. He's outside of his natural environment. And the word of God says that they Adam and Eve knew each other and were intimate and produced two boys, Cain and Abel. Some believe that they were twins. But nonetheless, these two boys came into the world. And after the process of time, the word of God says that they came when they were to bring offerings to God. Now, Cain, it said, brought fruit and vegetable because he was a farmer. He brought the first fruits of the land. And Abel, who was a shepherd, brought the firstlings of the flock to God. And the word of God says in King James Version that God had respect for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And the word of God says that Cain went away angry, wroth, and his countenance fell. And then it said God came down to have a conversation with him and said to Cain, "Why are you upset? Why are you vexed? What's good? If you do well, will you not to be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is at the door and its desire is for you, but you can master it." Cain, in response to God's conversation, strips God in his face and called his brother for a conversation. "I want to talk to you, Abel." And took Abel out into the field and had bust up with his brother and ended up killing his brother. Now, we know the story, most of us. How did these brothers know to bring an offering to God? It said the process of time, they, you know, brought an offering to God. Cain brought fruit and veg. Relationship with God. Anyone else? Through their dad. Their dad taught them. Yeah, they were the kids that grew up under the family. The father, Adam, said to them, this is what you need to do. This is what we need to do now. To gain access to God's presence, we need to bring an offering. So you need to do this. This sense of bringing the first fruits of your livelihood to God is from the beginning. And God showed them, and they brought what they brought that according to their particular ministries, according to the particular work that they did, they brought. But God, the scripture says, had respect for one, but not the other. Why do you think that was? Abel's was the best and Cain's wasn't. Abel gave God what he thought he wanted to give. I mean, Cain gave God what he thought he wanted to give. It wasn't a sacrifice. It wasn't the best that he could offer, is this explanation. Anyone else want to add to that or agree with that? Was more weightier. Okay, similar. Okay, anyone else want to add to what you think might be? You can say if you want. Okay, the pastor is not allowed, so we ban the pastor from speaking. Especially the Jewish pastor, we ban her from speaking. Anyone? Cain's heart wasn't in it? Okay. Now, I've heard it being taught this way, that the reason why God didn't accept Cain's offering because Cain brought fruit and veg and the ground was cursed, and Abel brought blood, which was, you know, the sacrifice. And that sounds reasonable to me. Sounds makes sense, you know. And that's the reason why God didn't accept his and accepted Abel's. However, I'm not really a subscriber to that particular theory. This is the one that I'm more subscribed to. It said that Cain brought the first fruits of the land. He brought his best. He did bring his best offering. He brought his fruit and veg. That's what he did. He was a farmer. He wasn't a shepherd, so he brought the best of what he had. However, the verse that explains it for me is the next verse. It says, God had respect for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had not respect. That's the key for me. The key is in that verse. It says, God had respect for the offerer and then the offering. He had respect for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Because if God cannot accept the offerer, he can't accept the offering. The offerer gives value and credence to the offering. God knows where you are positionally, financially, and everything else of that nature. But we're all before God equal in that sense. Maybe not in society. We may be in, you know, social, economically different stratospheres. But from God's perspective, it's an even playing field. Because God's measurement of value is not based upon economics. It's based upon heart. So the widow with the mite brings more and all to God versus the rich man who gives what he can afford. It's not in the quantity, it's in the quality of the offerer's heart. I'll give you a further explanation of why this is important. When my children were young, they're a bit older now, and you know, I like it when they're young, when they're little, you know, and I can beat them around. No, I'm joking. I like it when they're younger. You know, my favorite age is, you know, up until about 3, whatever. That's amazing time for me. I think that's great. But after that, they start to find themselves and start to talk back to you, start to do what they want to do. No fun anymore, right? But so anyway, when they were kids and they started to go to school, I remember, and any parents, let me see the hands of parents in here. Parents. Okay. So what, the first, if you remember this, if your kids are old enough, and you remember the first day that they went to school and they came home from school or nursery, whatever it was, they came home with a painting or a picture from school. Yes? They came home with that, and then they brought it home excited. Yeah? Run to you. Mummy, daddy, look what I did. You took it. Oh! They flipped it for you, right? Because obviously it was upside down. Don't know why you didn't notice that. And then you said, oh, baby, what is it? And they look at you strangely. It's a dinosaur, obviously. Why can't you see that? So you take the picture and you do what with it? Put it on the fridge. Everywhere in the world that I go, it must be a signed secret covenant that we make with our kids. But every parent takes the picture and sticks it on the fridge or in some prominent place. Some people even frame it and stick it. And but if a stranger came into your house and was wondering and happened to go into your kitchen and saw their picture, they would be like, what the heck is going on here? What is this? But the picture that is finds a place of note of note in your house, not because of the quality of the picture, but because of who drew the picture. Because it was your child that drew it, it then became valuable to you. When you go to praise in God, your praises and my praises are like scrawlings of a child. God has angels who can outsing everybody in the planet. He has musicians who can outplay everybody. He's not short for excellence when it comes to music. But when you praise God, when you get to praising God in spirit and in truth, He takes your praise and He sticks it on His fridge. And the angels come by and they say, what is that? And God says, never you mind what that is. My baby drew that for me. So your worship of God, your praise of God, finds value in relationship. So even though you may not be the best singer or the best musician, if your heart is towards God, God takes that offering and puts it up on His fridge. And every day He passes His fridge, He remembers who drew that picture. This is why it's important to understand and get in your head, as a musician or as a singer, those who function in this capacity, sound engineers, whatever, that as good as you can be, and you must strive to be the best you can be, get skillful in your instrument, get skillful as singers, we talked about it earlier. But the level of your skill is not why you qualify. It's not what makes your worship that much better. It's not that makes God sit in it and say, yes, I am well pleased. It is the quality of your heart towards Him. Abel offered God a pleasing aroma, a pleasing offering, because his heart was towards God. His heart, Cain's heart wasn't. He gave God the best he could give him, but the best he could give him wasn't what God wanted. Not in the things of your hands. Jesus said this to us, the Father seeks true worshipers. They that will worship Him the Father seeks true worship, not true worship. He seeks true worshipers. Because if you get a true worshiper, you will get true worship. If you seek the gift, you may not get the man. But if you get the man, you'll get everything the man has. So God is interested in possessing our hearts so that he can possess what's in our hands. If you want God to be pleased with your life, your offerings, your gifts before him, and this is interesting, a word, offering. It's an interesting word. I like it. It's, you know, I like the way it sounds when I say offering. Yes, it's a nice word, isn't it? Offering. Now, the word offering comes from the word offer, doesn't it? To offer. So, imagine for me that everyone in here, I bequeath you, in Jesus' name, a house worth £1 million. Everybody ready for that? You don't want it. Yeah. Okay. So imagine for a moment you all have a property now worth £1 million. You happy about that? Okay. Amen. Okay. You got. Okay. So you live in large now in your £1 million mansion. The doorbell rings, or the gate bell rings. Yeah. Because you're too far away from the house to answer your own door now. So then there's somebody turns up at your house and says, excuse me, I'm just driving past the area and I'm looking for a property in the area and I just love your house. You know, I'm not sure if you're looking to sell, but I'm willing to give you £500,000 for it. Are you willing to sell? What would be your response? Why no? Do you have £500,000? No. So why would you say no? It's worth more. So what did the individual at the door do? They made you an offer. They made you an offer. So the recipient of the offer is the one that decides whether the offer is acceptable or when you lift your hands to worship God and praise God, you're making an offer. But the offer is just an offer. The recipient has to say, I accept your offer or not. So just because you raise your hands and you say hallelujah, does it mean that God has to take it? You're making an offer. The recipient decides whether the offer is valuable enough to receive it. Whether the offer is acceptable. So Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present your bodies as a living, holy and acceptable, holy and unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship, your reasonable act. You present an acceptable offer. God says, guess what? Your life is what's acceptable. So if you give him your praise and not your life, it's not acceptable. If you give him your song but not your heart, you're supposed to bring an offer worthy of the King. We sang, Lord, I give you my heart today. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way with me. This we sang with all the fervor we could muster this morning. But was it true? So I want us to make an offer to God now. Is that all right? I want you to make an offer now with consciousness in your mind that you're not going to just sing a song for the sake of singing a song anymore. That the words that go on the screen actually mean something. That God actually listens. He's paying attention. He wants the word to be true in your heart and in your life. He wants it to be reality. He doesn't want you to just go through the ritual and the motions of it. He wants it to mean something to you, because if it means something to you, then it means something to him. This making sense? So we're going to make an offer now. This is the offer we're going to make to God. Okay, Mark's going to begin to play and begin to minister. And I want you to come before your Father now with an offering of yourself, to present yourself unto God. To say the areas of your life that you've kept from God for yourself. You know what I mean, the reserve bits, the bits that you don't want to kind of give up. That part, portion, is what you're going to bring to him now. Why? Because he's worthy of it. Because God is not trying to take stuff from us. He's trying to get stuff to us. But he needs some vessels that are available for him. So in this next few moments, we're not going to be very long. I want you to begin honestly before God to reach out to him from the depths of your spirit and begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, I surrender every part of me. I make an offer of my life, of my thoughts, of my intentions, of my ambitions, of my ministry, of my family. I'm going to bring everything to you now as a living sacrifice, because it's reasonable for you to have it. And I want you to do that spontaneously by yourselves without any encouragement from me. I want it to come from your own selves, from your hearts towards God. Bring your gift to your papa. Bring your drawing to him. In whatever way that looks like, you may want to come to the altar. You may want to throw yourself down here. You may want to kneel where you are. You may, whatever it is you feel led to do by the Spirit of God, I want you to do that. I want you to come to him and give him everything in the giving. Minister before him. Minister before him. Give him it. Give him it. Give him everything. If he's worthy, give it to him. This is not about anyone else. This is about you, only you and God. Cry out before him. Lay down before him. Prostrate yourself before him. Surrender everything to him. Say, he's worthy of all. Give him your all. Cry out. Let the offering mean something. Let it have value. Not just lip service, God, but everything, God. All for you, God.